ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम्। सो लास्ट क्लास वी वर डूइंग द मेथड ऑफ कॉन्टेम्प्लेशन। कॉन्टेम्प्लेशन इज मेडिटेशन, अ मेंटल एक्टिविटी वेर इन सब्जेक्ट ऑब्जेक्ट डिविशन इज नॉट देयर। The meditator meditated division is not there, which means the object of meditation is the very swarupam, nature of the meditator. Meditator's swarupam being the object of meditation, the division is not there in contemplation. And here what is to be dwelt upon, meditated upon, happens to be one's own swarupam, the abstract, the most abstract reality. The here is a method presented by Vidyaranya Swami in this Drik Drishya Viveka text. And before even entering into that method, we have to see how an abstract substance like even light needs some support in order to be meditated on. If I ask you to pay your attention to light or pay attention on light, it may be difficult for the mind to suddenly to think of light and to focus attention on light without any distraction. Because light is not something which is restricted, which is not just moving, which can hold the attention, which has some form or shape or something. Therefore, we use something as a support. Support here means you take an opaque and you see the opaque, and from the opaque then you shift attention to the light. Because the very perception of opaque is possible because the opaque shines, and the opaque shine, the shining of opaque is possible because of the reflection of the light. Because the opaque reflects the light can be reflected only if the light is present. If there is no light at all, then opaque cannot reflect the light, then the opaque cannot shine. So the very shining of the opaque, because of which perception of the opaque is possible, is because of the very presence of light. And so if you take a clip, if you take a pen like this, and I ask you to see the pen, and from the pen I ask you to see that light because of which the pen shines, the opaque thing shines. Then once you shift your attention from pen to light, an opaque thing to light, then you can dwell upon the very nature of the light itself, light alone. So when you are asked to shift your attention from opaque to light, opaque pen to light, you are not given a new experience of the light. You are already experiencing the light as you are experiencing the opaque. In fact, your experience of opaque is the experience of the light itself. Therefore, you are not given a new experience, new knowledge or cognition of light, which is already in already experienced light. Only your attention, you are helped to shift your attention from the opaque to light, which you were not paying attention on before. Therefore, it is only when you see, you are paying attention on the light associated with the opaque is called what? Opaque anuvidda prakasha samadhi. Focusing or paying attention on light associated with the opaque object. Thereafter, the next step is you are supposed to analyze the nature of the light and dwell upon the nature of the light. This dwelling upon the nature of the light helps you to be able to hold attention on light. Similarly, we will leave the example here as it is and we will come to our contemplative method. So here the word samadhi itself means contemplation or meditation, which means the attention is focused on consciousness, the reality. Internally also you are dwelling upon the reality. Externally also you are dwelling upon the reality. Therefore we call this samadhi antara samadhi and bahya samadhi. Internal and external meditations. And antara and bahya, the samadhis are divided again into two as savikalpa samadhi and nirvikalpa samadhi. See, we are not talking about meditation at all. We are only here, contemplation is the meditation. Therefore, from step one itself, our attention is focused on the very reality, the consciousness. The swarupam of one's own self. And in antara, savikalpa, nirvikalpa means, savikalpa means, if the meditation involves division, it is savikalpa. The meditation does not involve division, it is nirvikalpa. Vikalpaha means division here. What is the division? I am the meditator. I am meditating on my own swarupam. That division is there. This is savikalpa. If this division is not there, nirvikalpa. So in antara samadhi also, there is savikalpa, nirvikalpa, samadhi, division, samadhis are there. In bahya samadhi, external samadhi also, we have savikalpa, nirvikalpa, samadhis. Which means there are only steps. So what in savikalpa samadhi, what do we do? Again, there, drishya anuvidda savikalpa samadhi, step one. Then shabda anuvitta savikalpa samadhi, step 2. Nirvikalpa samadhi takes place naturally as a step 3. Three steps. These three steps actually form the method of contemplation. So drishya antara drishya means drishyam, you know, it's a potential passive participle. Drishyam means can be seen, anything which can be seen is called a drishyam. So we can say perceptible, visible, knowable is called a drishyam. And what is internally perceived, antara drishyam? Internally perceived means you should take only the thought. In fact, the antara Drishya Anuvidda Savikalpa Samadhi. The Sanskrit name might sound very difficult for you. In fact, very simple. It is seeing, focusing the attention or paying attention on consciousness as the witness of the thoughts. That's all. Simple translation. You know, paying attention on consciousness as the witness of the thoughts. This is what is Antara Drishya Anuvidda Savikalpa Samadhi. Which means you are already experiencing consciousness. You need not make special effort to experience consciousness. Why? Because without experiencing consciousness, you cannot have any experience at all. Experience of anything is possible because of the experience of the very consciousness. Therefore, in every experience, when you experience anything, in every experience, you are already experiencing consciousness. But unfortunately, you are not paying attention on consciousness. You are not seeing the consciousness in your experience. Like how you miss the light when you are perceiving or seeing the opaque. It's not that you are not seeing the light. You are seeing the light, you are not paying attention to the light. The same way, you are experiencing consciousness, but you are not paying attention to consciousness because the whole attention is held by the thought or object of thought. So here you are already, when you are having an experience means, in that experience, you are already experiencing consciousness. So our first step, the Drishya Anuvidda Savikalpa Samadhi, only a step wherein you are helped to shift your attention from thought to consciousness. And what are all the thoughts you have? Whatever thoughts you can, many thoughts arise, and thoughts arise, thoughts resolve. In fact, you can see the thoughts are there always. There's no time thought is not there. In waking, you have thoughts. In dream, you have thoughts. In deep sleep state, also you have very subtle thoughts. But not many, very, very subtle thoughts. What is the difference between waking state thoughts and deep sleep state thoughts? In deep sleep state, thoughts are very subtle. The divisionlessly thoughts are. Look at sukshma vrittis. In deep sleep state thoughts, because without the thoughts, experience is not possible. Deep sleep state is an experience. Dream state is an experience. Waking state also is an experience. Therefore, in every experience is there, means thoughts are there. But in waking, the thoughts are many and different, gross. In dream also you have thoughts. And in deep sleep state, not many thoughts, but still there are subtle thoughts. And because of which experience is possible. Therefore, when you have experience, and each experience is a proof that thoughts are, and even deep sleep state experience, which wherein you say, no, I don't know anything, I don't have any experience, that even that experiencelessness itself is an object of experience, is an experience. Therefore, there are subtle thoughts. In waking state, thoughts are there, but division is there. The knower, known, knowledge, division is there. Experiencer, experience, and the experienced, division is there. Triputi bheda, triputi difference is there in waking state. Experience, Whereas in deep sleep state experience, Triputi Bheda is not there. Without Triputi Bheda, because there is no I sense. Because the Ahankara is not activated in deep sleep state, because the mind is, there are no Ajnana Vritti. There is no Jnana Vritti. Therefore, Ajnana Vritti is there. Ajnana Vritti means the ignorance Vritti is there. There is no division. You don't know in deep sleep state, I am the knower. No, I am knowing this, that the division is not there. Therefore, even though that experience is there, all the three states are experience. And each state of experience is a state of mind. And that each state of experience itself, the thoughts shine. You know, and what, who is the witness, Akshi, of each state of mind, each state of experience, and the thoughts obtaining in each state of experience. Who is the Sakshi? Who is the witness? And there is an experiencer. The waking state experience is because there are the thoughts are, mind is the functional, thoughts are, experience is, therefore there is an experiencer. In dream also, their thoughts are, because their experience is. Therefore, thoughts are, an experiencer is. And deep sleep state also, experience is, because sukshma vrittis are there. What are the sukshma vrittis? Divisionlessly, without the, I did not know I was. I did not know in what happened. Means the sukshma vritti, there is a sukha vritti also, I slept very well. I did not know any pain or pleasure. Because sukshma vritti, even without the divisionlessly, subtle thoughts are there. And that is experience is there, which means there is an experiencer. There is an experiencer in deep sleep state. There is an experiencer in dream state. There is an experiencer in deep waking state. The presence of the experiencer does not contradict your reasoning. It is acceptable for you. Yes, the very proof is that you are able to narrate, talk about, discuss your experiences in of all three states. And what is that experiencer? Who is that experiencer? Because of whose presence? In whose presence alone experience is possible. In fact, you get to say, I am the experiencer. If you say, I am the experiencer, I had this experience, I have this experience, means, and who am I, this experiencer? The experiencer is, you are, it is the Sakshi, the witness of the three states of mind. The Sakshi is none other than Chaitanyam consciousness. And here we make it very clear, experiencer is consciousness. There is no experiencer other than consciousness. There, but you are not supposed to, we cannot say consciousness is the experiencer, we should not say. But we have to say experiencer is another than consciousness. Why? Because their experiencing is not an action on the part of consciousness. The mere, which means the experiencing is nothing but bringing to light, the illumining. Bringing the obtaining thoughts, bringing the obtaining thoughts to light is the nature of consciousness. Like bringing any opaque to light is the very nature of light. Bringing the thoughts to light, illuminating the thoughts is the nature of consciousness. Therefore, the illuminator of thoughts is nothing but consciousness. And there again, no instrument of knowledge or experience, transaction is functional also. Consciousness is not dependent on any instrument of transaction or knowledge or experience to bring these thoughts to light. Just in its mere presence, every state of mind, every state of experience, the thoughts shine. The presence of consciousness, which means how the opaque, in the presence of light, opaque shines. Opaque pervaded by light in and through, and the presence of light, opaque shines. So also thoughts shine in the presence of consciousness. We say the illuminator is consciousness, you understand. Then you resolve the illuminator also in consciousness. Knower in consciousness. You resolve the experience in consciousness. You understand consciousness is thoughts shine. Light is opaque shines. Consciousness is thoughts shine. And now you shift your attention from thoughts to consciousness. And you are placing your attention on consciousness associated with the thoughts. This is the first step in contemplation. Internal contemplation. Now, as you are listening to me, are you not dwelling on consciousness or not seeing that? You must be. If you are not, also don't worry, we'll take care of it. Then, the next step is, now you dwell upon the nature of the consciousness. It is very, you cannot dwell upon the nature of consciousness if you have not placed attention on consciousness. Now consciousness is neither the subject nor the object. Because you resolve the knower in consciousness, you resolve the experience in consciousness already. Therefore consciousness is neither the subject nor the object. Now you know what consciousness is. There is Swarupam of I. Now, nature of consciousness. What is this consciousness? What this consciousness is? How this consciousness is? And you are using Shastra's, you are supposed to use, Acharya says, take Shastra's words and see this consciousness as the nature of consciousness as the meaning of the words. Seeing this consciousness you are dwelling upon, you are focusing on, you are paying attention on as the consciousness, the nature of consciousness as the meaning of the words. And this is the next step. Next step also, the Shastra's words actually help you to keep your attention on consciousness for length of time. Not as an object, not as a subject, but just your help to see. And you see how you see the thoughts come and go. State of mind changes, the state of experience changes, whereas consciousness, it does not change. Therefore, nirvikaram chaitanyam, nirvikaram. No, the Shastra words are there. Atma nirvikaraha. Nirvikara means not subject to change. What changes? Thoughts change. Experience changes, state of mind changes, but what is changelessly there is the experiencer consciousness, witness consciousness. Therefore, nirvikaram chaitanyam. And this chaitanya, now we know thoughts are savikara. And these thoughts are, you can say, thoughts are agama apayinaha. And as Chaitanyam is stha, achalaha, unmoving, the consciousness doesn't move. Consciousness doesn't move. Sthanuhu, achalaha, nirvikaraha, And how many consciousnesses are there? Thoughts are many. But how many consciousnesses you see? Definitely Ekam. Ekaha Atma. Ekaha or Ekam. You see, the consciousness is one. As you are seeing the consciousness, you are analyzing its nature. This is how your attention is just, you know, actually is placed on consciousness. Like Ekam, Nityam, Sarvagatam. Like you see, take these words of Shastram and see the nature of consciousness as the meaning of these words. This is the second step. Now also your attention is on consciousness only. And then you say, and this consciousness, which is of this nature, is the swarupam of I, which is swarupam of the knower, is I. Therefore, I am this consciousness. I am consciousness. When this I am consciousness, when the cognition takes place in your mind, the after two steps, you have this cognition in your mind, I am consciousness. When you say, I am the knower or experiencer, an experiencer is consciousness, you have resolved experiencer and knower in consciousness, you have resolved the I also in consciousness, I am consciousness. When you say, I am consciousness, you have already shifted the I from the body, mind, sense complex. You resolve the I in consciousness. I am consciousness. I am consciousness. I am consciousness. And here, this consciousness means this I not only the consciousness obtaining in this mind. In fact, I, the self, am consciousness, not only in this mind, but in fact, I am consciousness in which all the other minds are there. Shine also. Even when you repeat, this is called Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnanam. Akhanda is cognition. I am consciousness. The understanding which takes place in your mind, I am consciousness. How you say light is the illuminator, this is a cognition, a piece of cognition actually. Light is the illuminator. The illuminator is the light when you say it is a cognition. The knower is consciousness when you understand it is cognition. I am conscious when you say it is a cognition. And this is called Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnanam or Atma Akara Vritti Jnanam. Or Brahma Akara Vritti Jnanam. And when you dwell upon this fact, I am consciousness. And as you are dwelling upon, still that I sense is there. I am that is there. And I am dwelling upon my own Swarupam is also there. Therefore, the meditator, the division is still there. In contemplation also, division is there. Therefore, but still, the subject of the division is not there. I am the mate, I dwell upon my own Swarupam, which is consciousness. And when you constantly, repeatedly dwell upon this cognition, the fact that I am consciousness, I am consciousness, and when I leave it, then this Akhandakara Vritti Jnanam continues to be there in your subconscious as Sukshma Vritti Anavrittihi. It's called subtle thought. So it's continuation of the same cognition, a repeated fact, actually in subconscious, is called Sukshma Vritti Anavrittihi. when this thought is in subconscious, that the same thought is continued without involving your deliberate effort and without involving your I sense ego, there is no division. In subconscious, the same vritti, when there is continuation of same vritti jnanam in your subconscious, akandakara vritti jnanam in your subconscious, there is no division. Please listen to me. In deep, if you ask me, how do you say that there is no division in subconscious mind when this continuation of the akandakara vritti jnanam happens in subconscious, in subtle form? If you ask how in deep sleep state the vritti is still, there is no division. Do you remember? We have to pay attention to my class here. In deep sleep state, you have vritti still, there is no division. You do not know you are, you do not know you are experiencing, you do not know this object of meditation, the object of experience. You do not know that without any division, without deliberate effort, without your I sense, there is experience in deep sleep state. Similarly, in subconscious mind also, the same akandakara vritti jnanam, that continues to be there, then without involving I sense, without involving deliberate effort, without division, when the thought continues to be there, is called a nirvikalpa samadhi. The difference between deep sleep state and nirvikalpa samadhi is, in deep sleep state, the vritti is ajnana vrittihi. In nirvikalpa samadhi, jnana vrittihi. Do you find the difference? Nirvikalpa samadhi, what is nirvikalpa samadhi? Continuation of this akhandakara vritti jnanam as sukshma vritti anuvrittihi without involving deliberate effort and ahankara, the I sense, is what now? Nirvikalpa samadhi. Therefore, vritti, continuation of vritti is possible in deep sleep state without the division. How there is no division in deep sleep state, so also there is no division in nirvikalpa samadhi. What is happening in subconscious? The only difference is, in deep sleep state, the vritti you have is ajnana vritti. You do not know you are. And here, in samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi, what you have in subconscious is jnana vritti. But you do not know that vritti is again and again is there. You do not know. This is the difference. And here, doubt might come. Okay, what about this consciousness? Is consciousness obtaining in only one mind, or all the minds exist shining in consciousness? The same consciousness is the only secondless, partless, indivisible whole. To understand that, next, actually you have to say this is Bahya Samadhi also is presented here. Bahya Samadhi is to be practiced to understand the oneness of consciousness or indivisibility. Consciousness being one indivisible, partless whole becomes clear only by practicing this Bahya Samadhi. And how do you practice Bahya Samadhi? Bahya Samadhi also, you have to remember the number 20th, verse number 20. Asti bhati priyam rupam nama chetyam shapanchakam adyatrayam brahma rupam jagadrupam tatodvayam. So, you take anything. Here you don't need to worry about this. Internally you have to look for thoughts, your own thoughts. Externally, any object which shines, it can form color or sound or taste or touch any object which shines. Any one object you take, any form, given one form you take. And here the Acharya says, every object has Brahman mixed in it. Like how every wave is a mixture, every wave is nothing but water. So every object which shines is nothing but reality, the consciousness. Consciousness alone shines as every nama rupa. Whether you're experiencing sound, you're experiencing consciousness externally. Experiencing form, experiencing every essence of every object, you are experiencing consciousness externally also. As what? You are experiencing the same consciousness as the existence. How is this consciousness experienced externally? As the existence and as the knowledge and as the desirability. Asti, Bhati, Priyam. These three forms, consciousness, the reality, with your own Swarupam, now you, the consciousness alone, shine as Asti, shine in the form of Bhati, shine as Priyam in every externally experienced object. The word Asti means, when you say chair is, chair means, and easeness. If you see, chairness and easeness. Chair ease means the chair enjoys existence. The word e, meaning of the word ease is existence. The word chair enjoys existence. The existence enjoyed by the name and form chair, and the chair made of steel. If you say the steel also, steel, iron, chair, anything, you just take only one object. The existence enjoyed with the object is nothing but same consciousness alone experienced as existence of a given object. And how do you say it? What the existence of a nama rupa is nothing but consciousness. How do we say that? Because existence presupposes knowledge. If you do not know the chair is, what chair means, then you cannot say chair is. You can say chair is only if you already know what chair means. Therefore, chair is means chair existence presupposes chair knowledge. The chair knowledge is. Chair is means chair existence is. Chair existence is means chair knowledge is. Because existence presupposes knowledge. Therefore, Bhati shines. That word stands for consciousness. Knowledge. Therefore, the consciousness alone is experienced externally as existence of an object. Not so what? Knowledge of a given nama rupa. And not only that, the same consciousness is of the nature of fullness. And fullness is what? Happiness. And then happiness, therefore, every nama, every object enjoys what? Desirability. Priyam. There is no object in the world which does not enjoy any desirability at all. Even if we say, I hate lot of things, I don't like all these things, even if we say, doesn't matter whether we like it or not, every object is liked by someone or the other. Therefore, every object has desirability. Which means every object serves as a means for the manifestation of fullness in oneself. Therefore, we say this every object has what? No, the desirability in fact is also what? The experience of consciousness only. The nature of consciousness, the fullness alone, is experienced as the desirability of an object, priyam. The desirability of an object also is expression, is experience of the fullness, which is the nature of consciousness. The desire, the knowledge of object also is what? Experience of consciousness alone. And existence of an object also is what? Definitely experience of consciousness alone. The same consciousness is experienced externally as the existence of an object, knowledge of an object, and then experience as the desirability of an object. Then really speaking, the consciousness is existence. And existence is consciousness. Therefore, I am consciousness. Consciousness, the existence of any nama rupa. Therefore, I am consciousness, existence. And then when you once you see, take any object and see the shift your attention from the nama rupa to existence. Chair is means you see the chair nama rupa and shift your attention from nama rupa to existence. And existence mixed with existence pervading the chair. Chair is means chairness is pervaded by existence, easeness. And that existence you shift, you cannot see the existence without the chair object. You are experiencing the existence as the existence of a given thing, not as pure existence, as pure existence. Therefore, you are seeing existence, then analyze the nature of existence. So, shift the attention from Namarupa to existence, analyze the nature of existence, then what is the nature of analyzing the nature of existence also is with the help of Shastra's words. There are many words in Shastram, again same words are used. Same words are used, and you can say existence is ekam, existence is one, then objects are many, objects come and go, and where namarupas change, existence continues to be there changelessly, ekam, and then nityam, nirvikaram, and then existence is all pervasive, and existence is independent, whereas names and forms are dependent, and names and forms are time-bound, spatially limited. Existence is of the nature of limitlessness. You understand this existence is timeless, existence is spatially limitless, existence is all-pervasive, existence is indestructible. You see the nature of the existence and with the as the meaning of the Shastra's words. Thereafter, this existence is nothing but consciousness. Existence is manifest, which are experiencing outside as existence of everything, the world. Jagat is means Jagat Asti, Jagat Bhati. Why? Because Jagat Asti, Jagat Bhati, because the existence of the Jagat is nothing but manifestation of consciousness. Consciousness alone is manifest as the existence of Jagat. Therefore, I am consciousness. When you say, I am consciousness, existence, and you say, Aham Brahma, I itself am consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of fullness, Aham Brahma Asmi. And this, both Abhahya Antara Samadhis help you to see the oneness of consciousness and existence. When you repeat this in your mind, the understood cognition, understood fact, when you repeat the already understood fact mentally, so mentally repeating or dwelling on understood fact, cognized fact, mentally dwelling on the cognized fact, Aham Brahmasmi, I am consciousness existence, I am consciousness existence, this again, there is a Savikalpa Samadhi. But this akhanda akara vritti jnanam is later on taken over by subconscious, and there is a continuation of the same akhanda akara vritti jnanam in your subconscious without involving the eye sense and deliberate effort, which is called sukshma vritti anuvrittihi, which is a nirvikalpa samadhi. As I told you earlier, in deep sleep state, thoughts are, experience is, and there is no division. But in the same way, in nirvikalpa samadhi also, in subconscious mind also, the continuation of thoughts, thought is, wherein the division is not there. I am the meditator, I am meditating on my own sarupam, I see my sarupam, the division is not there. Then, the only difference is, in nirvikalpa samadhi, the vritti you entertain is jnana vritti. In deep sleep state, the vritti you have is ajnana vritti. And this nirvikalpa samadhi, how does it happen? That is the nature of the, that is the capacity of the subconscious mind. Whatever you dwell upon, with lot of attention and fervor, that will be taken over by your subconscious. And subconscious will redo it again in the mind, without your knowledge. And it will surface also. Even for subconscious to take over the father too, difficult samadhi to happen, one needs punyam. One paramita also must be supportive of that. But still, this is one of the methods of contemplation. This is how the Acharya presents antara bahya samadhis. The six steps are involved. In fact, all the six steps, step by step, helps you to shift attention from namarupa to the consciousness internally, and externally namarupa to existence externally. And thereafter you see, when you dwell upon the nature of consciousness, you dwell upon the nature of existence, you understand you understand later on consciousness and existence are one and the same. And you also understand, you remove all the words. In fact, you use the aham there, nirvikalpa samadhi. You are not using atma is consciousness, brahman is consciousness, satyam jnana anantam brahma. You don't say all those things. Here you say, I am consciousness existence. Only if I replaces atma, brahma, reality, all the words, then it is nirvikalpa samadhi. Nirvikalpa samadhi, you are not seeing consciousness as something different from you. You see consciousness and existence being one and the same, and you see consciousness and existence as the very nature of I, the knower. In fact, you resolve the very I in consciousness. You just see, when you are seeing light and opaque, how you are seeing light is, opaque shines. Finished. Do you have any eye sense? No. The same way, this should be there. Consciousness is thoughts shine. Consciousness is the sense powers shine. Consciousness is the powers of organs of action shine. The consciousness is the everything shines. Consciousness is external form, sound, color, thought, everything shines. Consciousness is everything shines. Really speaking, consciousness alone shines as everything. You understand consciousness is neither the subject nor the object. When you see the light and opaque, what do you think? Do you think light illumines the object? When you say light is the subject and illumines is a verb and opaque is an object of illumination. The Triputi Veda is subject, object, you know, the verb, the division is there. But when you say, once you understand, no, light is or opaque shines. When you say, can you say light is a subject? Can you say opaque is an object? Light is, opaque shines means, Light is neither the subject nor the object. Just the light is the reality in whose presence there's something called opaque, enjoys existence. Similarly, here also you don't say, I am the knower, consciousness is the knower, and the knower is consciousness. We say knower is consciousness. All these are steps used. You arrive at consciousness. Consciousness is Jagat shines. Consciousness is Jagat shines. Therefore, existence of consciousness is the existence of the Jagat. Therefore, consciousness is the existence of the Jagat. Consciousness alone shines as the existence of the shining universe. Like light alone, light shines. Light is opaque shines. Light is the existence of the opaque. Light alone shines as the existence of the opaque. Therefore, similarly, consciousness is the vastu. There is no existence other than consciousness for the Jagat. And this consciousness, the existence, is of the nature of fullness. And here you have resolved all the Namarupas in the consciousness as Mithya. Here you are not undoing anything. You are not physically dropping anything. Cognitively, intellectually, you are resolving all the Namarupas as Mithya. You just say consciousness alone is as a secondlessly, non-dually, you know, on all these Mithya Rupams. This is supposed to be the outcome of knowledge. This vision, when it becomes ascertained, there will be objectivity. You can avoid internalization of everything. The avoidance of internalization alone is what? Actually freedom. When you are avoiding internalizing things, you are able to avoid internalizing things, you are free. If you are not able to avoid internalizing things, you are bound. Now if you want to internalize, helplessly we are internalizing. Choicelessly we are internalizing. This vision will help. That is why this is only. Any doubt in this? Now I'll give some time for you to ask questions. Questions now.
Swamini, I have a question.
Yes.
When we first studied Drigvrishya Viveka Samadhi, Mantra and Vakya, we ended, I think, with you were saying that even this Nirvikalpa Samadhi was not reality. And I wanted to find out, because from what we've just spoken, the Akandakara Vritti seems to be the reality. Could you explain if this samadhi leads to the reality or is reality?
No. See, samadhi is given, is a name given to that particular state.
Yeah.
I mean, which means there is how, see, the deep sleep state is a state of mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we call it samadhi, always state. But still wherein there is a jnana vritti. Jnana vritti means there is a knowledge. So knowledge should take place in waking state. But after knowledge takes place, it continues, it's there in subconscious. That vritti is called what? There is vritti in subconscious also. It's called jnana vritti. It's only for understanding. If you ask the reality, if you say reality is only one thing, which is consciousness. Isn't it? Reality is consciousness. The absolute reality is consciousness, that's all. But everything else is what? Mithya only. Even when you say everything is mithya, I mean the samadhis are mithya, the meditation is mithya, the convent is mithya, all experiences are mithya, everything is mithya. You arrive at the conclusion that consciousness is the only satyam. Everything else is mithya. In fact, the shastra, the shastram is mithya, study is mithya, teacher is mithya, student teacher division is mithya, everything is mithya. Mithya means you don't say it is non-existent, you make it is relatively real. See, relative reality has to be absolute, ultimately resolved in absolute reality. See, there is a teacher and there is a student and there is student-teacher division and there is teaching which communication takes place between the teacher and the student. This is all real or not? Is it real or unreal? If you say, it is not unreal. It is not something non-existent, isn't it? It does happen. But it's absolutely real if you say no. It is not absolutely real. So what do you say? It is all mithya. Mithya means what? These differences are there. These are all happening. In whose presence? Because of whose presence? Because of the presence of which these things can happen. The teacher can exist. Student can exist. And the communication can happen. All these things are possible because of which that is the reality. And these things are not neither unreal nor real, and they are mithya. We don't, real means only consciousness. Unreal means non-existent. We don't say it's unreal. It is mithya only. You know, it's like saying, that is why Swamiji always gives his beautiful. Have I answered a question?
You know, we hear of a jnani, but one who perceives reality.
Yeah.
Every second. That I wanted to question.
Yeah.
Where the moment in a samadhi nirvikalpa akandakara, and the state in which a jnani lives, where the difference. Is there any difference in that?
Yes. See, the Nirvikalpa Samadhi, see, Vedantic Nirvikalpa Samadhi, which takes place in subconscious, without the knowledge. And Nirvikalpa Samadhi is possible only if you already have Akandakara Vritti Jnana, if you repeated that cognized fact, if you repeatedly, if you dwelt upon that cognized fact, only then Nirvikalpa Samadhi is possible. Therefore, the wise person, the so-called jnani, the jnani, what is Nirvikalpa Samadhi, actually he is always in contemplation. Jnani is always in Nirvikalpa Samadhi only. Absolutely. Relatively, this division is there for him. Relatively, when he says, I'm hungry, I want to eat, I want to cook, I have to do this, I have to go out, I have to do this, all these things, jnani also has to be doing. Okay, jnani's behavior must be like any other behavior only. But in the relatively, it is there. But absolutely, for a jnani, the differences are not there. That is why we talk about these threefold differences. You know, sajatiya bhedaha, vijatiya bhedaha, swagata bhedaha. All these differences are there relatively. But absolutely, all these differences are not there for a jnani. You know, for him, I am consciousness existence, that doubt is not there at all. In that regard, in that vision, there is no doubt. I am consciousness existence means there's no doubt, which means he has his life behavior exists, that objectivity reflects in his behavior, in his lifestyle, which means you can see unaffectedness because of the objectivity, because you know this is say. And even that meditation, contemplation, we say, Vijatiya Anantarita Sajatiya Vritti pravaha, niran vritti pravaha means there is the thought flow. No, actually in contemplation, the attention is continuously there on consciousness, means the continuously only one thought is there, for object of which the thought is nothing but consciousness. That is why that is the result of that contemplation is what now is dida jnanam, the sthita prajna. I am consciousness existence, there is no doubt. How illuminatory is light? It's an expression, a statement, which is a statement wherein you cognitively, intellectually resolve the word illuminator in conscious, in the light. For you, light is the reality, that's all. Similarly, I am consciousness existence means aham, the swaroop, consciousness. Okay, any other question?
Swami, you referred to this isness just now. In your
yeah.
Mind. The state of being is. Is isness yeah. and consciousness the same?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question as well?
Yeah.
You said to dwell upon the consciousness as being, effectively as being the foundation of the thought. And to distinguish the consciousness from the thought in the way that light is distinguished from the illumined object.
Yeah.
But that you just simply stopped at that, as though it was obvious that that would happen or be clear how to do that naturally. You could say, well, it's done cognitively, okay, but when I've tried it, it doesn't always seem very easy to do that. So can you give us a little bit more detail as to how that is done?
Yeah, it's not that easy, very abstract, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not easy.
The first step, we're understanding what contemplation is all about first. See, to understand contemplation itself, this example is given. It's only this analysis of the three states of experience strategy. You analyze the three states. Each state of experience is a state of mind. And which means the conscious mind, the thoughts are there. In every state of experience, there are thoughts. There is no state of mind wherein the thoughts are not there. And then, but different, sorry, vrittis are there. Different vrittis, the thought modifications are there. Subtle thoughts that in deep sleep state, without the division, no, I am the experiencer, I am there is a thought experience, without the division, subtle thoughts are there. In dream, with the division, subtle thoughts are there. In waking also, we have thoughts with the divisions actually. The Triputi Bheda is there. So thoughts are there and thoughts shine. Whatever thoughts are there, those thoughts shine. And then this is how you, the thoughts shine means, and then the objects of experience, which means there's an experiencer. And the experiencer, you distinguish from the each state of mind, each state of experience. And you also, it's on one way, analyzing three states of experience and differentiating the experiencer from the experience. And when you analyze the deep sleep state and the waking state itself, the thoughts are different. But the experience is different. But the experience is different. The difference in experience is known because of what? Because it's experiencer. The experiencer is there and difference is experience is very clear. Which means the experiencer also is not different. Experiencer in deep sleep state is not different from the experiencer who is in waking state. And that experiencer, actually experiencer means not a form, not a man, not a woman. What is this experiencer actually? And then you resolve the experiencer in consciousness. Then you see the consciousness. You search for the experience. There's each state of mind is an experience, and each state of mind, you know, actually all these three states of mind are mutually exclusive and discontinuous. But in mutually exclusive, discontinuous states of mind, what is continuously present? That is the witness. What is continuously, non-exclusively there? That is the witness. And the witnessed is what? Mutually exclusive and discontinuous also. This is how you distinguish. This is how you differentiate. The experiencer is continuously there. And the experienced, the witnessed states of mind are discontinuous and mutually exclusive also. And that the experiencer is, you distinguish the continuously existing experiencer from discontinuous, mutually exclusive, witnessed states of mind, then that experiencer is consciousness. Resolve the experience in consciousness, and that is how you see the consciousness pervading the witnessed thoughts, witnessed states of mind. It's quite subtle and abstract. We need to analyze more on this, actually. We will do that, actually.
So are you saying then you need to hold that understanding clearly in mind when you're practicing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So in other words, you need to
think about it. Now, yes.
Digest it.
Yes. This is what you remember. And also, the thoughts also are particular thoughts, like sometimes the thoughts come and really afflict a lot. Suppose some hatred comes, anger comes, irritation. Sort of anger, frustration, jealousy. Sometimes you whenever some thoughts, some states, some condition of the mind, make you feel burdened and heavy or disturbed. The mental disturbance. The disturbance when it is there, it's very nice to objectify the disturbance, mental disturbance in the form of jealousy or hatred or some anger, and some anger especially of betrayal, some sort of anger comes. And if you objectify, and this was this anger before, last week, last month, or yesterday, even this morning, sometime back, was this anger there? It was there, but it was not so so powerful like, and how it is now. It makes me feel so burned, I'm not able to get rid of it. Just it is there. And this state of mind, and then it goes after some time. If I analyze this, it was there, it was not there before, it was there in between. Thank God, now I'm relieved. Now I feel it relieved. Something diverted my attention. Somehow I'm thanks to Bhagavan. I couldn't undo it, but somehow the state, the attention got changed, now diverted. So I'm free of that mental disturbance. When you see, even these thoughts change. But who is that one who knows the thought being there and thought being not there, thought undergoing a change? That knower of this different changing mind, unknowing, unchanging, knower of the changing condition of the mind is consciousness actually. This is how we have to think, work only on thoughts and states of mind and states of experience to distinguish the experiencer.
Okay,
distinguish the experiencer, resolve the experiencer in consciousness as consciousness, then you dwell upon the nature of it.
Okay, I've practiced something like that, but when doing so, it's very easy for Ahankara to step into the role of this apparent witness. And that's the tricky area. I think I'm witnessing. I think witnessing is taking place. I think it's happening. I think I'm seeing thoughts. or thoughts are being seen objectively, but really it's a mode of ahankara. Often.
Of course, I am the witness with ahankara only.
Yeah, but some... Yeah, but sometimes it seems as though there is just witnessing, but not what you're talking about.
Yeah. See, I am the witness means... I am the witness consciousness means just that doesn't make you ahankara. Ahankara, you can say the I only if it is identified with the body, mind and complex called ahankara. I am disidentified with the body, mind and complex. Identified with the witness consciousness is not seen as ahankara. Aham, just the aham. Aham, I... We say aham, I am the witness consciousness means there is no ahankara. If I identified with the body, mind and complex only, we call ahankara. Very be careful. What is ahankara? Just the I sense alone doesn't become ahankara. The mere presence of I sense is not ahankara. You know, I sense identified with the body, mind and complex, I sense being placed in body means complex is ahankara. Erroneous notion about the self is ahankara. Just the knowledge I am is not ahankara, Radhniji. And if you say I am witnessing means there's no ahankara there. I am witnessing means there's no ahankara.
So Swamiji, this word, I mean, you keep using the word consciousness, and Pujya Swamiji, I said, you know, when you say the word rose, something is very clear in mind. Still, when you say the word consciousness, there's nothing in the same way very clear.
Yeah,
so how much more study of Shastram with the teacher is required? How much more Shravanam is required before that becomes a meaningful? In a way, I can understand Rodney's question, because you say, I am with this consciousness. But what do you mean by consciousness in this case is not necessarily the same, is it?
Yes, that is why what I'm saying, consciousness is neither an object nor a subject, not such as formless, yes, subtle reality. It's just it's something to understood. That is why we repeat this. That is why so many texts are prescribed. See, every text, in one text, you have some clarity, some understanding. At least you hear, there's a knower, the experiencer, which is witness consciousness, etc. You listen, you understand. Repeatedly, so many texts are repeatedly studied for ascertaining this meaning of the word consciousness only. That is why one text will not give you clarity. The repeated study is for enhancing the understanding only. There is some understanding which is not yet very clear. That is why repeated study of many texts.
But then, Swamiji,
you do now at least you are these studies. That's what I told in the very beginning. Even though I am teaching you, in the teaching I am saying as in the due course of time, saying I am conscious, etc. You don't understand. It is not very clear for you. At the same time, at least you know one thing. This is what I am not. Actually, in understanding, there's many steps involved, understanding, arriving at, ascertaining what the reality is. The reality is nothing but consciousness. And to arrive at that reality being consciousness is the aim of the study. And in understanding the reality being consciousness, you resolve all the subtle and gross forms, cognitively, intellectually, and for which you have to resolve the very I in that consciousness. Therefore, before understanding consciousness, even to distinguish the I, what I is not, and that understanding, even for that it takes so long. The repeated study of scriptures help, even though you can say I am not the body, you are not simply saying I am not the body. It will be very clear. I does not really mean body. I does not really mean anything. That has become very clear. So understanding, then that I have actually, I actually is consciousness. And when you understand, I actually is consciousness, everything is nothing but consciousness. And for that, that substance for it to become very clear, the more you resolve your identity with the body-mind complex, the more you dissociate with the body-mind complex, the more ahankara you resolve, then clearer will be consciousness. The two steps here. Here, the less and less identity is with the body-mind complex, clearer and clearer will be what consciousness is. This is the step, I tell you. The repeated study will help you have less and less identity with the body-mind complex. Which means you are not pushing anything outside physically. Just actually the I is the subtlest manifestation of knowledge. And these are gross forms. You don't need to know what the gross form is, how it has come and all that. All that is the study of anatma is only to distinguish I from the non-I. And later on you have to understand what this I is all about. Then you have to resolve I in consciousness. Resolving, so this I being distinguished from the body-mind complex, and even for you, cognitively, it must become very clear. The less identity you have with the I identified with the body-mind complex, the clearer you will be of consciousness. Two steps here. This is why we say ahankara nasha. You know, ahankara nasha means a resolution of ahankara. Resolving means only, that's why the word resolving is a very beautiful Sanskritam. When you say nash, dhatu, nash, dhatu, root. Nashyati, nash means adarshane. Nash, adarshane means what now? It doesn't mean destroying something, means completely undoing it. It resolves. Actually, nash itself means resolves only, not destruction actually speaking. Destruction means only adarshanam. It is not available for perception anymore. When you don't see the tree anymore, it is made of wood. What is adarshanam? What is not seen is the tree. But what is seen is the wood. That is why destruction of the tree means it is not the totally destroyed for good. The form is not available for sight anymore. That is what nash. So, ahankara also here, ahankara, distinguish ahankara from body-mind complex itself takes time. And then less identity you have here, clearer you will be of consciousness. That is why repeated study. Text after text, same thing we repeat.
Sorry.
That is why it's not like any object. Okay, prose, chair. Rupal, sandwich, everything comes from mind. No, one or another. Consciousness doesn't come from mind. Consciousness doesn't come.
So, what Swami, is the state of isness a practical expression of consciousness? The chair is. So, if you say that, then it's.
Really, we call it manifestation. See, any object perceived of knowledge is actually implies the manifestation of consciousness.
Swami, going back on our studies, is it right to say that we have to do the karma yoga bit first? Purify our mind, steady the mind, then do the sravanam, do the mananam, and then, you know, then the habitual errors coming, and then qualify for the nidityasana. You can't do, you have to do all that first before you do nidityasana.
See, nidityasana is not something doing, it's not something doing. Once the understanding takes place, nidityasana is something which happens naturally. Nidityasana is a meditation on one's own swarupam and which is not doing, which is being. Contemplation is being, and which you need not work hard. If the already Shravanam Mananam has been done, enough clarity is there even while doing Shravanam itself. Enough, some clarity is there, and you are able to see that you are always in contemplation. But contemplation is not, still you seem to be contemplating, still the aparoksha jnanam is there, but still the personality transformation hasn't taken place. It seems still it's not very clear. It is clear, it is understood, but still it's not very clear. That as long as doubt is there, it is not clear that doubt is there, which means you need to have more contemplation, and for which again, some pratibandha in the mind is responsible. That is why we say for pratibandha nivrittihi, is implied, is said to be even antakarna shuddhi, mental purity, for which you say living a life of karma yoga. We don't even use, say, I do karma yoga. I live karma yoga. I do my karma with the proper attitude. Therefore, I live karma yoga. Okay, I live karma yoga means, we never say I do karma yoga. I do karma with the proper attitude, which means I live a life of karma yoga, and which will take care of my own emotions, emotional problems, the mental purity, the mental cleanliness. Very important, because the disturbed mind and still mind which is agitated mind cannot be contemplative. The way karma yoga is prescribed. Of course, you live a life of karma yoga, and living a life of karma yoga itself and doing little shravanam itself will help you to be contemplative. And that contemplate, you are contemplative, but it's not enough. You are not satisfied because the knowledge just hasn't taken place. It is not, the palam is, you are not enjoying the benefit. So it is as well as not having jnanam. Therefore, that's why we have continuous repeated study is very important. Repeated study is very, very important. You know, even people who study, they do the course in 3-4 years continuously with the help of the teacher sitting in Gurukulam, and they have their own prarabdha karma, prabala karabdha, and samskaras and disturbances and so much. And Swamiji sometimes says, you know, they also transference, the period of transference, suddenly they behave funny and all that, because the knowledge goes in, lot of listening goes in. So these things happen, Swamiji says, it's all natural. And I accommodate everything, he says. That's why being in Gurukulam, seeing how Swamiji has been, was and all that, that he even gave me a lot of thing to just be, to take anything, any blow. See, have I answered the question or not?
Thank you, Swami, yes. Thank you.
See, for all of you, I can only tell you one thing. This teaching has given some clarity. It has not given exactly what you want to have. Which means you have to study more. You have not even done enough shravanam. That is why in between prayers also, Puja Swami is very particular. Because even unknowingly imagine, now you understood what is Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Nirvikalpa Samadhi, whether the object of your thought is Paramatma or not, you have so many things, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, so many things must be going on, which surfaces. You know that? When in so many janmas you must have done, so much you must have dwelt upon, and all of them must have gone into subconscious. You don't know what are all things going on in subconscious. Not a Paramatma. So many things must be going on. And all of them work. You have no say over your own subconscious. And how are you going to utilize them? That is why prayer, japam, we need to have a lot of japam and prayer, etc. to utilize your own what you have in subconscious, in your store. the prayer is very, very important. Japam is very, very important along with the study. When you are doing Shravanam, you understand in Shravanam itself, you are understanding what Nididhyasanam is, what Mananam is. When understanding Shravanam and Mananam itself is, Mananam and Nididhyasanam itself is something like Nididhyasanam, which is not Nididhyasanam. When you are doing Shravanam, you are eligible, you happen to understand what Mananam is, what Nididhyasanam is. When you happen to understand what Nididhyasanam is, what Mananam is, when you are doing Shravanam, it is like doing Nididhyasanam only. But it is not complete by itself. That is why these doubts arise. When I am doing Shravanam, I am understanding what Mananam is, what Nididhyasanam is. That does not mean I am really contemplative. I am not eligible for contemplation also. So let me listen. I understood what contemplation is, and I seem to be contemplative sometimes. I'm not really contemplative, not yet completely, totally contemplative. So I need to do more of Shravanam. That must be our openness. Have you answered? Peterji?
Yeah, very good. Thank you so much.
I mean,
it seems more listening to the teacher, just more Shravanam, as you say.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you know, we can understand to some extent, you know, thoughts and emotions, and you can see clearly that these are under observation. But after that, that's why I was asking you about this. Anandamaya. This over there now, there's nothing to perceive. This is not available for perception. So that, you know, somehow.
No, Anandamaya, the two vrittis are there. What's that?
Okay. We lost you again.
It is very natural for all of you to have these doubts. How? Apple, rose, we know consciousness. Why we are not able to know in spite of studying this? Not very clear. You can say it's not very clear, but you cannot say it is completely unclear also. Can you say that? You cannot say that. Because some study you have done, some effort you have put in, has helped you to distinguish. Very subtle, abstract, very abstract reality it is. If you can understand consciousness, as you can understand rose, cup, apple, consciousness. You can understand that existence. Then what is there? You don't need to study so much, makes effort at all. Then you would have had easily objectivity. You could have had that what no, the Veda. You will see very clearly what is Brahman Namarupa Veda and what is Atmanatma Veda. You have seen the difference very clearly. What is Satyam, what is very, very clear. Not it easy. That is why Shravanam. But please understand, when you are doing Shravanam, for the Shravanam to become complete and perfect, if your Shravanam itself is perfect Shravanam, proper Shravanam, and complete Shravanam, only if you understand what is Mananam and what is Nididhyasanam in Shravanam itself. Understanding what is Mananam and what is Nididhyasanam itself is like doing Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. But that does not mean understanding what is Mananam, what is Nididhyasanam does not mean that you are doing Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Therefore, the Shravanam has to become adequate. For a length of time, one has to do Shravanam systematically, regularly, and which will help in, which itself will become Mananam. And you will not even ask me questions, am I doing Shravanam or Mananam? When this doubt starts resolving all the doubts which rise in your mind, you can ask me questions, no problem. But repeated continuous study of different texts will slowly help you resolve the doubts you have now. As these doubts you have now will resolve, and you understand this is what is mananam. And as the doubts resolve also, the more of shravanam, and not only it will help you resolve the doubts, slowly your clarity will be enhancing, which you can understand it as nididhyasanam also. So you will understand what is nididhyasanam. You understanding nididhyasanam in this shravanam, and you understand, oh, this is what is mananam, this is what is nididhyasanam, which you understood earlier. That will also have, that understanding also will be there when you do more of shravanam. And the mananam means, even if you were not studying other shastras, other schools of thought, your own thinking will raise, your own reasoning will should raise enough of objections. If you are able to, no, doesn't mean that we have to be heading all different schools of philosophy to know other people's views, and to, you have to understand other person's view, then you have to resolve that other person's view. Why? You can have your own view. You have your own doubts. Therefore, you will, your own mind will start, your own reasoning will projects create some doubts, and those doubts, and then will be resolved by your own further reasoning. The doubts created by your own reasoning will be resolved by your own reasoning in the light of the understanding of Shastra. That is what is mananam. So this will happen. And as the doubts resolve, and you see your clarity enhancing, and you will see how apple, cup, chair, consciousness, existence, you will know that. That's just like that. Like Rasagulla, it should go inside. Do I make sense?
Yes.
Can I ask one further thing? You just,
yes?
You just said that when you listen, when shravanam becomes mananam and nididhyasanam, or when you understand mananam and nididhyasanam in shravanam.
Yeah, what is mananam? What is nididhyasanam? When you start understanding, when the more of shravanam you do, in shravanam itself you understand what is mananam and what is nididhyasanam.
Okay.
This is what is mananam, I have understood. That also will be understood in your further shravanam. See, when you do shravanam, I tell you, resolving your doubts is mananam, I say. In the light of understanding, you resolve your doubts. But when you really, the mananam means, and as you do more of shravanam, when your doubts resolve, you understand, oh, this is what is mananam. Is it clear or not?
No.
Yeah.
When you say, oh, this is mananam, do you mean the doubt-free state of mind is mananam, or the process of resolving?
The process, see, you resolve your doubts.
Okay.
See, if I simply say what is, if I define the word mananam, definition of mananam you will know when you are doing shravanam. What is mananam? What is nididhyasanam? You understand the definitions. But actually, you have many doubts, understanding, and you repeated shravanam helps you to resolve your doubts slowly. Even one or two doubts you resolve, oh, this doubt I had, in fact I never had this doubt before, this doubt has come newly, my God, and this doubt is, I'm also resolving this doubt here. You know, what I'm doing is a process of resolving your doubts is what? Mananam. You what you understood earlier as definition, now it has become your you see it what it is. The definition becomes true to understanding.
Okay, that's clear.
Have you answered, Rajni ji?
Yeah, that's clear.
Roger ji, any question? Keith ji?
No, not for me, Swami. That's very clear. Everything you said has been very clear today. Thank you.
There was just one further thing. Sometimes when I listen to you, sometimes when I really give you my attention, I the penny really drops. I really understand, or this is how it seems. I really understand the point you're making, and it's very, very clear what you're saying, including its implications. It's like it, just in the way that I, as clearly as I understand that I'm an Englishman, without actually saying that I'm an Englishman, just as clearly and as obviously as that. Now, how is that at all, is that quality of understanding at all relevant to what you've just been talking about? Or is it something irrelevant altogether? Because I feel as though it seems as though I've tuned in to your wavelength, to put it in 60s speak. It sounds as though I really understand what you're on about. And there seems absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, but of course, I could be quite wrong. But that's how it seems. It's that clear. Now, how is that relevant to what you've just been saying or not?
Now, when you understand, when you know that I have understood very clearly, and that is true, the understanding happens. Therefore, you are right. And it depends upon the pratibandha also, depends upon the punyam, it depends upon the state of mind, the how you are, how that particular condition, that particular time, how the receptivity, how receptive you are, how focused you are, how undisturbed you are mentally. So you may have the efficiency, intelligence, capacity to see exactly what the teacher sees. But in spite of that, some pratibandha, some distraction, some disturbance, something pratibandha may happen. It may really obstruct the understanding. That's all. Understanding is there means, see, Swamiji always says, no, there's no dull student at all. Understanding happens or understanding doesn't happen. Two things. Happens means no pratibandha. There's readiness, there is punya and the attention. So cannot miss it. And in spite of the clarity, the clear teaching, one is missing it means not the person is incapable of understanding it. Attention is not some pratibandha. There's only obstacle. Swamiji always puts it, everyone is capable of understanding that, getting this vision. It doesn't happen, vision happens, doesn't happen. It depends upon a pratibandha. And a pratibandha will be caused by one's own samskara, and pratibandha, disturbance, something. Some papa karma is vessel. Otherwise, Swamiji never says he is dull witted, he is not kakar. Swamiji never says anybody is a dull or anything. It's the pratibandha. That is what I like with Swamiji. Because he first says, as a teacher, it's a self-condemnation. No, again, making everyone the guilt. The teacher must be the first person to help one to get rid of all the guilt and hurt one has. Guilt one has. Oh, I am incapable. I am dull. Already these notions are there. And the already existing fundamental problem should not be triggered by the teaching or the teacher. The teaching should help the student resolve the fundamental problem. It should not be instead of triggering the same old problem. Already one has enough of in situations to trigger one's problem. Therefore, if you say, I have understanding, sometimes, some situations, I do, I'm very clear, wavelengthly, the same means, that's true. Because your own understanding doesn't contradict your reasoning. That is why you call understanding. What is communicated doesn't contradict your reasoning, and there's some understandable things, and understanding happens. That is real understanding, there's no doubt.
Is that understanding like Nididhyasanam? Is it in any way or means at all?
Yeah, what is understood is the vastu that is Nididhyasanam. The object of understanding is the vastu, the reality. then you call it Nididhyasana. Suppose it depends upon what the teacher is teaching, talking about, and what you are listening to, what are you understanding about. Your understanding is about of consciousness, the reality, the vastu, then it is Nididhyasana. That is why in the class itself becomes Nididhyasana. A class itself should become Nididhyasana. Contemplation. Next, we'll see that in the next class when we start that. Okay, next class we'll start Mandukya Upanishad. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.